We're holding page 148 in Shabbos, Ois Kuf Tes Zayin, the beginning of Perek Misha Hechshech, Perek Avav Esrim, the 24th and last Perek of Shabbos. It's brought in Sfarim, by the way, it mentions in Yeshaya the Kala, where it's 24 ornaments, so corresponding to that, since Shabbos is the Kala, therefore it's got 24 parakim. Anyway, the beginning of the Perek talks about, so here we have first from the quotation from the Mishnah, Misha Hechshech Loi Baderech, a person who it became dark while he's on the road. So he's traveling on the road and he's got his money bag and other valuables with him, and it's Shabbos, and what should he do with them? Noisin Kisei La'ov Gechavim, he should give his money bag to a goy to carry for him. Normally, you wouldn't be allowed to do that because you're normally Amir Al-Akum, but in this case, the Gemara explains that the Chum understood a person is not going to be willing to set aside his money bag, and it's going to be over there, and then he's just going to have to put it off on the side, and he may never see it again. So if they don't give him some kind of heter, then he's going to end up actually doing Malacha Daraisa on Shabbos. So therefore, they gave him a heter to do that. If there's no goy with him, then he puts it on his donkey. Again, even though, as the Gemara goes on to explain, normally you're not allowed to, there is a mitzvah in the Torah, you're not allowed to have an animal do work for you on Shabbos. This is, by the way, to give you an example, you know, you were asking the other day about, let's say, you talking or doing other things like that, a business on Shabbos. It's not one of the 39 malachas, but it is a violation of Shabbos. The same way the Gemara establishes over here, it's a lava b'miklal esa. The Torah tells us you have in the Dibra on Shabbos, Zohar Siyam Shabbos, the Kadshay, you have that you shouldn't do ato vincha v'techa or vehemtecha, that your animals should also rest on Shabbos. So that implies, in other words, that you can't have them do work for you, but it's not considered a lav, because the Torah doesn't say that you can't, that when it says loy sasako malacha, et cetera, over hemtacha, that means, for example, you can't plow using your animal. But when the animal is carrying something that's called machamer acha behemtai, so it's also on Shabbos. It is an isur esser, but it's not a lav of Shabbos. So if you don't have a goy, then again, the chachamim allowed you to be over on that isur of machamer, again, in order that you don't carry it yourself. So Vashalab Gemara al Mishnah Zu. So the Gemara asks, Ein Sham Loy Chavim Balei Chamur Balei Cheres Shoyt V'Katan Mai. So first the Gemara goes into a whole discussion. What about if you have a cheresh with you? He's not chayiv in mitzvahs. What if you have a cotton? What if you have a cheresh and a cotton? Which one is it better to give it to? And the Gemara goes through all of that. Eventually, so now we get to, what if you don't have with you any of them? No goy, no donkey, no cheresh shoyt V'Katan. What should you do? Again, we can't expect the guy to leave his money bag on the side over there. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchok Oida Cheres Hoisa. So Rabbi Yitzchok says there is another possibility that you can do. V'loy Rotsu Chachamim Legaloisa, but the Chachamim did not want to reveal it. So my Oida Cheres Hoisa. So what is this other thing? What is this other alternative? So my lichli pachas pachas me'aba amos. In a pinch, the Chachamim will allow you can carry it less than 4 amos at a time. But you're going to have to stop every time less than 4 amos, so that you're not doing an isur daraisa. So why indeed the Chacham did not want to reveal that? So Mishum, as the Pasuk says, Kvoid Elokim Hasto Dover, it's the honor of Hashem to hide things. So you're allowed to hide things of Torah for the sake of the covet of Hashem. Uchvoid Malachim Chako Dover. On the other hand, the covet of kings is to investigate the matter, meaning Rashi says, when you're talking about the dignity of a person, even a king, don't think because of that you should hold back from investigating it. No, check it out fully and say openly whatever it is that needs to be said. So in this case, it would be, it's covered for Hashem to not openly say what this is, because that could lead people to accidentally carrying the full 4 amos on Shabbos. Marashah refers over here to something that he explains at the end of Eruvin. In particular, he talks about over there, why does the Gemara bring the second half of the pasuk? The first half, we understand. Why is it relevant to bring the second half of the pasuk? And so he explains that the Melochim over here, actually, before he explains differently than Rashi. The Melochim over here means the Chachamim, Man Mauchi Rabon. So it means when we have things daraisa, yes, we should conceal them, and the Chachamim are not going to tell us the full thing. So for example, they're going to conceal this halacha, so it's not well known to the public, so they don't come to be over on a din daraisa. On the other hand, when it comes to dinim derabanan, and so we know suffik derabanan lekula, and there's all kinds of kulas that the chachamim built in to their xeris, then go ahead and publicize them, chakor dover, go investigate into them deeply, which the whole Masechta Eruvin, for example, is basically on things derabanan. He tells about it at the end of Eruvin. So there, by all means, go and investigate it and let everybody know of all the kulas that the chachamim made. Eruvay Tchumin and Shitufa and Eruvay Chatzeres and Shitufa Mevoyas and so on and so forth. Go ahead and publicize all the kulas that there are in there, because that would be kvod malachi. Mefoshim also point out that ultimately, I mean, so why is Rabbi Yitzchak telling it? And the answer is because at least it's not in a Mishnah, which then it would be more openly that everybody knows it. Eventually, people need to know it. And in fact, I think Ben Yehoyada says that itself is part of the covet of Hashem. Don't think the Chachamim didn't think of that alternative. But ultimately, it's also the covet of Hashem to not publicize it so much so people don't come to break Shabbos. Iyun Yaakov makes an interesting point that there's another reason. So we have lots of gzeiros that the Chachamim made, and we never say that we hide something so that people don't come to be over on it. Why are we here? So first, let's actually continue. The Gemara continues. So what is the honor of Hashem that's involved over here? Because if you allow the person to carry it, if you tell the person they can carry it less than 4 amos at a time, they may accidentally come to carry it full 4 amos, and then they'd be over on the Isur Daraisa. So therefore, it's kvod lekim to not inform people so openly of that alternative. So now, Iyun Yaakov points out an interesting thing. A medrash tells that one time a min asks, I think Rabbi Akiva, he says, you Jews say that Hashem keeps all the mitzvahs that he gave you. So how is it if Hashem keeps Shabbos then? So how is it he makes rainfall, he makes all kinds of other things happen on Shabbos? And Rabbi Akiva answers him that it's like when a person carries around in his own chotzer, a person can carry in freely in his own chotzer. So the same way, the whole world is the chotzer of Hashem, and therefore he can do whatever he wants in there. There's a sicha, actually, that ever analyzes this and says, fine, that works as far as carrying. What about all the other malachas? After all, you don't say you can do other malachas in your chotzer. And the gist of it is that from the point of view of Das Elyon, Einod Milavada, in the whole world, Bechlal has no mitzios, and therefore it's all part of Atzmus and Mahos anyway. But then on Shabbos, it's on a higher level, etc. Anyway. So the point is, so the answer Rabbi Akiva is giving this fellow amounts to saying that the whole world is like Hashem's 4 amos. So therefore, if a person would carry in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim 4 amos on Shabbos, then that's taking away from the covet of Hashem. So you are allowed to do that. So then it doesn't show that Hashem is anything different than us. Therefore, it's more kvod elokim to make sure that people don't carry 4 amos more so than with other gzeiros dakonos derabanan. Okay. So the Gemara says Tanya. Now we learn in a brisa. Now we learned near the beginning of the Masechta, we had a little bit of in Ein Yaakov. Most of it is actually just in the Gemara over there, that the Chachamim had made, there was a point when the Chachamim gathered together and made 18 gzeiros. We have the Gemara tells over there that they were visiting Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Gorin, who was holed up in his attic. He was busy researching on Sefer Yechezkel and figuring out all the psukim in there that seemed to contradict things in Chumash, how to reconcile them. So while he was there, one time the Chachamim came to visit him, and at that point, Beis Shammai outnumbered Beis Hillel, and they voted on 18 halachas. They're called the Yud Ches Dover. So the Gemara gives the whole list of them over there, and one of them is the din of our Mishnah, that Nosin Kisei L'Nachri that he gives his money bag to a goy or puts it on the animal, etc. So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Boy Bayon God Shu Sa'ar. Rabbi Eliezer says on that day when they made that takana, then they overfilled the saw. In other words, in those times when they measured grain or flour or whatever, there were two ways that you could measure it. You would take the grain or what have you and pour it into the measuring container. Then you could either, in some places, they would leave it heaped up. That's called gedusha. And in other places, they would then go and smooth out the top of it using a stick. So that's called gedusha and mechukah, respectively. So Rabbi Eliezer says on that day they overfilled the saw, meaning they filled it up very nicely. They filled it and overfilled it, meaning they did good. They made many gzeiros and takonos for the Jewish people, and this one was a good one as well. So he approves of that. By the way, Rav Nissim Goin says on the side of the Gemara that actually the Boi Bayoim over here refers to what we know throughout Shas, Boi Bayoim, on the day that they deposed Rav Gamliel and appointed Rav Elazar ben Azariah as Nasi. So apparently Rav Nissim understands that this Gzeira, maybe they originally made it in the Yud Ches Dover and it didn't stick, and therefore they had to re-announce it then, Boi Bayoim, but most of the other Mephoshim understand that it means on the day when they visited Hanani ben Chizki ben Gorin. Anyway. So Rabbi Eliezer approves of it and says they overfilled the container and they did good by that. Rabbi Yeshua Imer Boi Bayoim Machusa. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua says that on that day they undermeasured the sa, meaning like they flattened it out, like the way you'd flatten it out with a stick over there. Meaning Rabbi Yeshua says that they made too many gzeiros. People are not going to be able to do that because what are you going to have? A person who has a goyish, a traveling companion, is not going to necessarily going to trust him with his money bag. What if the goy takes it and runs off? So then he's going to say, instead of giving it to the goy, as the chachamim have said, better I should just carry it myself. And he's going to come to carry it dalad amos b'shus rabim. So in other words, Rashi explains, Rabbi Yeshua is saying it would have been better for them to leave the measure overheaped rather than flattening it out, and therefore, in other words, making it that people are now more likely to inadvertently violate something in the Torah. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos, on the other hand, learns that both of them are complementing what the Chachamim did. They're just using a different, let's continue in the Gemara, actually, and then we'll talk about what Tosfos and Maharsha say on it. So Tanya, we learn in a b'risa, Moshul that Rabbi Eliezer Mahad Dover Doimer. What when we say that Rabbi Eliezer says that Boi Bayin Godshu and he's approving of what they did, what is it like? Kupa Malaya Kishurin and Bluin. It's like when you have a basket full of cucumbers and pumpkins. Adam Noisin L'Secha Chaudol. If a person puts mustard seeds into there, which are very tiny, it can fit them. There's plenty of room. There's plenty of space between the larger vegetables to be able to fit tiny little mustard seeds. So the same way, Rabbi Eliezer figures and it holds it. It can all fit. So the same way, the Chachamim added another gzera, which Rabbi Eliezer says fits very well and accomplishes its purpose. On the other hand, and in fact, by the way, Pesher Agadta points out, why would you do that if you have a basket full of cucumbers or pumpkins? Why would you put in mustard seeds? He says because that way it cushions the larger fruit. So in the same way, Rabbi Eliezer takes the view that the Chachamim cushioned the dinim d'oraisa by making all these gzeiros d'rabbanan, including this one. On the other hand, Moshul de Rabbi Yeshua, Lamar Dover Doimer, what can we compare Rabbi Yeshua's viewpoint of it is, La Reva Malia Dvash. If you have a bowl full of honey, Nosim Asecha Rimonim V'Agozim, if now you put pomegranates or nuts into V'Himakia, then it'll spit out. In other words, all of the honey will all come pouring out from all sides, it won't fit the honey. The same way, Rabbi Yeshua figures, the Chachamim added this gzera, and they caused that now people are going to end up being over on the din, because again, he's not going to trust the goy, and he's going to end up carrying it himself. So that's according to Rashi, that Rabbi Eliezer is complimenting them, and Rabbi Yeshua is criticizing them. Tosfos says no, both of them agree that it was a good takana. The metaphor is that when we say about Rabbi Yeshua's metaphor involving the honey and the pomegranates and all is that you have there's honey in there as well as pomegranates and nuts and whatever and honey keeps on pouring out the sides, but eventually it stabilizes at a particular level and then the honey stops flowing out. The same way over here when the Chachamim said that you should give it to the goy, they also said don't carry it less than 4 amos at a time, unless, as Rabbi Yitzchak said, there's really no other alternative, and that way they're safeguarding the honor of Shabbos. So it comes out then that both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer are agreeing that it was a good gzera. Now Maharsha gives a whole other explanation. He says, we have many, many gzeiros and takonis of the Chachamim from throughout Jewish history. Why all of a sudden by this one is there this argument about whether it was good or not so good, or according to Tosfos that particularly they're complimenting this one, why more so than the other ones? For that matter, Maharsha says, how do we know this was the last of the 18 gzeiros? So he says, Most of the all the other 18 Xeris is all the Chachamim are saying that something that previously was mutter is now osur, or that something that previously was tahor is now tomei, or whatever. That kind of thing. Of course, that's usually what a Xera is. But here, all of a sudden, we have something where the Chachamim are mentioning the heter. They're using the expression noisin kiser lenochri rather than phrasing it that you should not carry it pachas pachas mendalad amos. And in fact, Baal Amor says something similar. He says that this is usually a gzera or a takana of the Chachamim, as they tell you what's osir. Here they're telling you what's mutter, and from it you're deducing what's osir. That's an unusual way of phrasing it. Well, I mean, it was Bishamai who outvoted Basil on this, but the point is, it's not a usual way of announcing a Xera. Usually you say, up until now, you were doing such and such, and it was fine, but now you should know, from now on, we're making a Xera that it's awesome. It's unusual to announce a Xera. You should now do such and such, and therefore, the inference is that that now you can't do the other thing. So there, everybody agreed that. Oh, so before that, Bishamai and Basilel, did they both agree? No, maybe not. I mean, the fact that they had to vote on it, the Pashto sounds like Basilel would have preferred that he carries it pachas pachas medal ramas. But yeah, anyway. So now the question is, so they're saying, we're giving you a heter, give it to a goy. And implicit in that is that it's also to carry it less than four amos. Now, what happens? Suppose a person wants to do neither one. He's not going to give it to a goy. He's not going to carry it less than four amos. He'll wait there till after Shabbos. Tovei ol habracha. So Rabbi Eliezer therefore compares it to a heaped up measure. That they did the best possible thing. You can still put in the mustard seed over there. In other words, so again, the Chachamim said don't carry it four amos at a time. On the other hand, if you want, give it to a goy. But if this way you have the alternative, the Chachamim are leaving you open the alternative, don't do either one. Instead, just wait there until after Shabbos and then continue On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that the way that the way the Gzeira was made, says Rabbi Yeshua, is that when they said noisin kisir l'nochri, means you have to give it to the goy. And because they figured, because what's going to happen if you're going to try to be machmir on yourself and say, you know what, never mind giving it to the goy, I'll just wait here till after Shabbos, eventually you're going to think that, you know what, I changed my mind. It's too dangerous to stay over here and I can't find another goy that I trust or whatever, and he's going to end up carrying it. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua criticizes the gzeira that they made because now it doesn't leave room for a person to be machmir on himself should he choose to. So therefore, he compares it to the story with the bowl of honey, where the honey is inevitably going to spill out when you put more in there. So that's why, particularly with this Xeira, more than any other, then they have this kind of machlokas. Okay. Further on in the perek, there are a couple of mishnayos that talk about details of what you're allowed and not allowed to do in terms of preparing food for animals. One thing that it says in the Mishnah over there is you can't give food on Shabbos to animals that don't depend on you for their food, only to pets or to your pets or your work animals or your farm animals or whatever that depend on you. This is, by the way, when it comes Shabbos Shira and you put out kasha or whatever it is for the birds, this is why it says it's brought to the post can bring, you have to put it out before Shabbos because the birds that are wandering around the streets over there, the pigeons don't depend on you for food, so you're not allowed to feed them on Shabbos itself. Anyway, so one thing the Gemara mentions in that connection is that you're allowed to feed a dog on Shabbos because mizanois of alacha, because it depends on you for food. So in this connection,
even a string dog.
Right. So Dorosh Rav Yonah Pischa de Benesia. So Rav Yonah gave the following Dorosha in front of the door of the Nasi's house. My dichtiv yedeyat sadik din dalim. Pasuk says in Mishlei that tzaddik knows the judgment of the poor. Now, in the simple sense, it means, in other words, that he knows to give tzedakah to the poor. But on the other hand, Maharsha points out, then why would the word be din? Tzaddik dalim or something like that. Why din? So therefore, we understand that it means something else. Yedea HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bekelet. Hashem, who was the ultimate tzaddik, knows about the dog he created the dog and knows how it works. Shem is a nois of mu'atim, he gets very little food because nobody has rachmanus to give dogs very much food. People don't usually need them very much. Therefore, Hashem made that the dog's food remains in its stomach for 3 days. So this way, it's able to. This way, it has a feeling of fullness for 3 days from what it last ate, and that way, it doesn't have such hunger pangs to have to go and look for more food. As in fact we learn in a Mishnah in connection with the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara, suppose that an animal ate a piece of a mess, and of course a kazayis from a mess would be matame, but once an animal ate it, suppose that an animal ate that piece of the mess and then shortly afterwards it died. So we would say if it's still on the animal's stomach and not digested, then it's still matame. In fact, you have halachas about it in Masechta Olos, to the effect that actually the animal's body doesn't even prevent the tumor from going out. So you have, let's say, for example, a dog ate a piece of a mess and then it dies inside a house. The house is going to be tummy. It's inside the dog. Doesn't matter. The dog's body doesn't prevent the tumor from going out. So how long can the piece of the mess be in the dog's in the animal's stomach and not be tummy, and it's still tummy, but kelev shlosh yom meslas, if it was a dog that ate it, then 3 full days, 72 hours, or ba'ofis of a dogim, if it was a bird or a fish that ate it, it's only kadesha tipa la'uvati sarif, the amount of time that it would take the size of a piece to fall into fire and be burnt, we consider that after that time it's been digested enough that now it's not matame anymore, because now it's not in its original form. So we see that Hashem makes it that a dog's food stays in its stomach and doesn't get fully digested for 3 full days, because Hashem has rachmanis on it, because of the fact that people don't look out for the dogs very much. So a stray dog, actually, I'm not so sure about. Well, a dog that you own, definitely you're allowed to, but a stray dog, I'm not so sure about.
So the
Gemara continues. Amar of Hamnuna, Shma Mina. We see from this that we're saying that Hashem has rachmanus on the dog. It's the derech eretz thing to do, to throw a piece of meat to a dog. And here we mean even a stray dog. Maybe not necessarily on Shabbos, but at least doing whether on Shabbos, that I think is a machlokes haposkim, but at any rate, on doing weekdays, then yeah. Well, since Hashem has rachmanos on him, you should also. So v'kama, how much should you give him? Rav Mari, Meshach Udne, so Rav Mari says, give him a piece the size of his ear, the size of the dog's ear, v'chutra abasre, but follow it right up with a stick to beat it so it doesn't go and try to follow you and become your dog, because then you're gonna end up having to spend a lot more on it. Hanimili Bedabra, and the Gemara says, now that applies only if it's out in the fields. But if it's in the city, don't even do that in the first place. If it's not your dog, do also a misrach, because you have the same problem that it's going to end up following you, at least in the field. In other words, it's a one-time thing that you meet up with this dog in the city. But Pashtus, the idea is you're going to be coming across this dog again and again, and soon enough he's going to associate food with you. So even if you follow it up with a stick, he's still not necessarily going to get the hint, and he's still going to try to follow you and beg for food, and then you're going to end up wasting a lot of money on him. So the papa says in this connection, less the oni mikalba, there's no creature as poor as a dog, because we're saying even people for the most part don't have rachmanos on them, the less the osir mechazira, on the other hand, there's no one as rich as a pig, because it scavenges for food wherever it wants, and therefore it's always got plenty to eat. Ben Yehoyada talks about a couple of symbolisms of what the Gemara means with this expression. One is, he says, the dog is a symbol of the Persians. We find, in fact, that Kodesh, the first big king of Persia over there, his name actually, it's brought in Sfarim, means dog. So therefore, that's a symbol of their kingdom. On the other hand, the Chazir is a symbol of the Romans. They actually had a legion that was named and that had a banner of a pig. But wow, they considered it to be a very honorable animal, and they used it as a name of some of their noble families. And wow, the Medrash says that the Romans are like a Chazir. It says about Esav, for example, and the Romans, who are his descendants, the same way as the Chazir lies over there with its feet sticking out and pretending, look, I'm kosher. The same way they put on a good show of being the civilized, moral, and whatever people, and really they're completely corrupt. Anyway, the point is, therefore, he says, so the Gemara is hinting at the fact, look at the Persians, they only had a very short time of world domination. Look how poor they are. They only had 52 years of ruling over the entire known world, whereas the Romans have had hundreds of years. So therefore, in that sense, like, there's nobody as poor as the dog, the poor Persians, who had such a short time, and there's nobody as rich as the pig-like Romans, who had such a long time. That's one thing he says. The other thing he says is, the dog represents the Baal Lashon Hara. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim that a person who speaks Lashon Hara deserves to be thrown to the dogs. On the other hand, the Chazir, he says, has a positive connotation. It means somebody who's eager to do mitzvahs, especially tzedakah. The Gemara, we're going to have soon in the Gemara, we're going to have the expression Chazir on the mitzvahs, a person who's always running around to do mitzvahs. And the word Chazir comes from the same Shurish. So therefore, the Gemara is hinting to us, there's nobody as poor and miserable and subject to so much punishment, min hashamayim, as the Baal Lashon Hara. On the other hand, there's no one who's as rich and deserving of so much reward from Hashem as the Chazir, the one who's running around and grabbing opportunities to do tzedakah. Okay. The Gemara goes on to talk about, since again, the Mishnah had talked about certain dinim of what you're allowed and not allowed to do in terms of preparing food for animals on Shabbos. So the Gemara gets into a whole discussion about mixing bran with water or mixing various other kinds of things with water in order to feed the chickens or other kinds of animals. So the Gemara brings in that connection from the notebooks of a couple of the Chachamim. We know in those times, Torah Shabbat Peh wasn't allowed to be written down yet, but they were allowed to keep private notes of halachas that they would otherwise forget. So the Gemara mentioned they found a note, they found in Levi's notebook, they found the din in this connection, they found in some of the other Chachamim. So now the Gemara digresses to talk about another notebook of one of the Chachamim where they found something which is a piece of Agadah. Kosu apin kosei de Rabbi Shurban Levi. They found written in Rabbi Shurban Levi's notebook about the effects of on a person of what day of the week he's born on. His characteristics are going to depend on the day of the week he's born on. Now, all of these, we're not saying it's an absolute thing. It's basically in each of these cases, he has a tendency towards this thing. The Gemara is going to discuss further on the question of Yesh Mazel or Ein Mazel Yisrael. But in any case, the point is, we're not saying that a person who was born on a particular day of the week is absolutely going to be like this, but he has a much stronger tendency towards it. So Haiman de Bechad B'Shaba, a person who was born on Sunday, Yehei Gvar V'Lei Chodabe, he's going to be a person where there's not one of something in it. He's going to be something, meaning he's going to be a person who's complete in one middah. He's going to have only that middah and nothing of the other. So the Gemara asks, "My v'lechodabe." What do we mean by that? Ilema v'lechodel tivusa. Do we mean that he's going to be all bad and not have a shred of good in him? Which again, it wouldn't mean necessarily that he's destined to be a rosh, a tzaddik v'rosh v'lechomer. But in other words, does it mean that he's destined to be a one-dimensional kind of person and not have any tendency towards good in him? No, v'amar Rav Ashi an nabachad b'shaba aboy. Rav Ashi says he was born on Sunday. So does it mean that he won't have any bad and he won't have any tendency to bad in him? No, Dimi Bar Kuzisa or Kakuzta Havyan Bachad Bashaba. I and Dimi Bar Kuzisa or Kakuzta, whatever the gear says, we're both born on Sunday. Ana Melech, I became a king, meaning a Rosh Hashiva, Bahuda Havu Habaresh Gandhi. Meanwhile, this Dimi became the head of the local robbers. So we see. You have two people who were born on Sunday, and one is a complete tzaddik, and the other is a complete rasha. So that's what it means. Ela equal the tivu, equal the bishu. It means there's going to be either completely one or completely the other. There's no gray areas with such a person. My time of the Ivrubay Urbachoshach. Why? Because light and darkness were created on the first day and they were separated. The light was only light, the darkness was only darkness. So symbolizing, therefore, a person who is born on that day is going to have that tendency to either be completely light or completely dark. In fact, Marasha refers to that when the Medrash says, when it says, Vayikra Elikim La'ur Yom V'Lachoshach Karaloyla, that refers on a deeper level to Yaakov and Esav respectively. Now, again, we know in Chassidus in particular, it talks about that Esav had tremendous potential in him. He had Oris to Toyu. He could have joined them with Yaakov's Kalim to Tikkun, and he would have become a very great person. But he had this tendency towards Choshech, which became actualized in him. So that's what we're saying over here. So, and Rashi also adds the point that the Sunday is the first day of Ma'ase Bereishis. Therefore, a person who is born on that day is going to be somebody who's going to be a leader of some kind, either like Rav Ashi, who's going to be a leader of the Chachamim, or like Dimi, who's going to be a leader of the Ganav. Anyway, Haiman de B'Tre B'Shaba, a person who is born on Monday, Yehe Gvar Ragzon, is going to be a person who is very prone to anger. My time, Mishum de Iflugu by Maya, because on that day, the waters were split. And in fact, Marsha brings from a medrash on that day Machloikus was created. All over the place in Sifrei Kabbalah and Chassidus, it talks about that Monday is associated with Gvura, and among other things that has to do with it, that comes down as Machloikus. You have it talks about that Korach is sourced in that has a source in that division. And so on and so forth. So therefore, such a person is also going to be that type of person, a person who is easily angered and a baal machlokes, or at least that he's going to have a tendency to that. Haiman de b'plos of a Shaba, a person who was born on Tuesday, yeheg bar osir v'zanay, he's going to be rich and promiscuous. Yeheg, he'll be. My time, Shum de Ivru be'asavim, because the grasses and the herbs were created on that day. So Rashi explains that these kinds of things, they grow very quickly. They're part of a rubber a great deal. So therefore, the person has a tendency towards znus, which is just that, to spread himself around. So that's the idea of pritzus, of spreading out. So he'll have that tendency, like the grasses, that'll be very rich and very easily able to spread out and dominate the people around him, and also very promiscuous. And Rashi says a second explanation is the grasses themselves grow in a mix. The Gemara actually mentions in Chulin that even though Hashem didn't tell the grasses Laminehu, they made a kavachoyma for themselves, and each one came out Laminehu. But afterwards, different grasses grow together. You look at anybody's lawn, you'll have a whole bunch of different grasses and herbs or whatever growing indiscriminately. So therefore, in that sense, this person is also going to be that kind of indiscriminate person. Maushab refers also to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that compares the fact that Nisan is the time when the grasses are growing is also the time when the animals are mating. So we see that there's a connection between the creation of the grasses and the tendency to want to mate. But Pashtos can also mean, for example, again, given that each of these things is a midah that can be used for good or the opposite, but Pashtos, it means this can be the kind of person who has the tendency that, like Rashi says, Duhuin and Pritzus, he has the tendency to want to be an ufaratsta kind of person. He wants to spread out what he has to give the world in terms of ruchness. Next, Haiman de Bedala Beshaba, a person is born on Wednesday, Yeheg Vachakim Venohir. He will be a person who's smart and nohir. Rashi explains that nohir means he'll be a zivson, meaning that he'll have like a glowing face. The Oruch says it means he'll have a good memory. My timer, Mishum de Itlu be Ma'oris, because on Wednesday is when Hashem set the luminaries, the sun and the moon and the stars in the sky, and Torah Earth. The Torah is light, so therefore that represents that he's going to have the light and the wisdom of Torah. The brightness, right. Marshall also refers to the fact you have a pasuk that mentions those who learn Torah by maskilim, those who become wise in Torah will be kazoy harapia, will be like the luminosity of the sky, and then katechavim lo'olam vayed. So therefore, so that's the connection. Next, Haiman de B'chamshe B'Shaba, a person is born on Thursday, Yehek Vav Goymo Chasodim, is going to be a person who's going to have a tendency to Gemilas Chasodim. My time, Mishum de Ivrube, Dogim Be'Ophis, because the fish and the birds were created on that day. And Rashi explains, they don't have to work hard for their food, they're sustained with Hashem's Chesed. So therefore, a person born on that day has a tendency to Gemilas Chesed. Marshal gives another reason. The Gemara tells us, Rashi brings on the pasuk that Hashem gave them a special bracha on Thursday, on Yom Chamishi, is the first time that we have Be'vorach Oisim Alekim. So why? Because people catch a lot of the fish and the birds, so Hashem had to give them a special bracha that they shouldn't go extinct. So that means also that Hashem gave them that special Gemilas Chesed, and therefore a person who's born on that day has that tendency as well. Now, the same way as some of the other ones that we said can have, they're not such good tendencies that can be used for good purposes, here you have the other way around. We know there's such a thing as chesed de klipa after all. So again, tzaddik barosh alo kaba, just because the person has a tendency to be goymo chesed doesn't mean he might not end up misusing that in the wrong way. But yeah. Next, Haimandim Amale Shamsa, a person who's born on Friday, Yehei Val Chazron, is going to be a person who's running after things. Chazron literally means like circulates around. Omer of Nachmi, so Chazron Mitzvahs means he's always going to be looking up for opportunities to do mitzvahs. Why? Because on Friday is when you're running around to do mitzvahs for Shabbos, so therefore a person who's born on that day has that tendency. In particular, by the way, we find the Alter Rebbe mentions in Tanya that many times in the Yerushalmi, the word mitzvah means tzedakah, particularly. And the Alter Rebbe explains there why it is that tzedakah is called the mitzvah. So it may mean the same thing over here. Particularly, the person is a person who's going to have a tendency to want to run around and do tzedakah. Marashah says another point as well, that on Friday is when Adam Rishon was created, and Hashem gave him the Sheva Mitzvahs, or six of the seven Mitzvahs, as the case may be. So that's the first day that Mitzvahs were given, and therefore this person has a tendency to be looking for opportunities to do Mitzvahs. And the last one, Haiman de B'Shabse Yehei, a person who was born on Shabbos, B'Shabse Yomus. He will also pass away on Shabbos, because they had to desecrate the great day of Shabbos for his birth. We learned earlier in the Masechta that there's a bunch of different things. When a baby is born, you do a bunch of different things that are normally chilul Shabbos, but you do them for the health of the mother and of the baby. So because Shabbos had to be desecrated when he was born, therefore Hashem arranges that he passes away on Shabbos as well. Omer Rav Bar Rav Shila B'Kaddisha Rabba Yiskuri, he will be called a great holy person because Shabbos is a day of holiness, V'Kaddishei. Marshall says this actually goes together with the previous line, meaning we know there's lots of people who are born on Shabbos and don't die on Shabbos. And what it means is, in particular, if he's a tzaddik b'kaddish, and then a kaddish b'ochem amalish nesem shal tzaddikim liyoyim liyoyim, so therefore Hashem will arrange that he passes away on Shabbos. And that way, actually, what it will accomplish is that since, on the one hand, Shabbos had to be broken when he was born for him to be able to be born, to take care of him and his mother, in return, what's going to happen is when he passes away, Shabbos is going to be shown to be holy. The same way as we had earlier in the Masechta, and we had a couple of days ago, that when a person passes away, there's very little you're allowed to do with the body on Shabbos. So that shows, that upholds the Kedusha of Shabbos, that even a great tzaddik has passed away and you can't do anything with the body on Shabbos. So that upholds the Kedusha of Shabbos, and therefore that's an appropriate thing for a person who's a tzaddik and a Kaddish like that. Nevertheless, other Mefoshim point out, you still could have, Hashem could decide for other reasons that it shouldn't happen. For example, Hashem may want that the person should be able to have the honor of a bigger hesped. If he passes away on Shabbos, then you can't do a hesped on Shabbos, so therefore you're not going to have that. So Hashem may adjust things as necessary. Marashah, by the way, also refers to something that the Gemara tells us in Nida that says the Chassidim Harishonim would be careful not to have relations during the second half of the week, because that would come out, calculating the amount, the length of a typical pregnancy, that would make it more likely that the baby would be born on Shabbos, and they wanted to avoid that. Udiyo and Armasechta, in fact, Marashah refers to something we had over there that it said that if the Jewish people were to keep one Shabbos, were to keep two Shabbos, we would be taken out of Golos, and there's a different place where it says one Shabbos. So Marashah explains those two things go together. If you be like the Chassidim Rishonim to make sure that one Shabbos is not broken for the birth of the baby, then the result is a second Shabbos will also be kept when the person will pass away in the middle of the week, rather than on Shabbos, and you won't have the issues that we're talking about over here. So the Gemara says, when Rabbi Chanina heard that they had found this in Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's notebook, he told them, Puku imur le bar levoi, go tell bar levoi, which is ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, loy mazel yoim gerdim ela mazel shah gerdim. It's not the mazel of the day that makes the big difference in what a person is going to be like, but rather the mazel of the hour that he was born under. And so we'll continue. We'll continue on Sunday, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll talk about that. And if all goes well, Be'ez Hashem, we'll finish the Masechta. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ula, Chavav 7. The Rebbe talked about Nesicha, that when you're talking to another Yid about the Geula, you don't need to create something new by him. You don't need to create by him a new Rotzen to strengthen himself and to do things in order to bring about the morning of Geula. All you need to do is wake him up from his sleep. And then once you do that, then certainly every Yid will do what he needs to in order to bring the Geula, take it from a Yad Mamash. halacha, continuing on the halachas of anas dvarim. So we said yesterday that a person has to be careful with anas dvarim, with hurting somebody else with words, especially we said his wife, because women are more sensitive. So what is anas dvarim? For example, you ask somebody, how much are you selling this for when you're not planning to buy it? So that would be you're giving him false hopes. He expects now to be able to sell it, and then it turns out you're disappointed. Another example would be that somebody comes to buy something and you refer him to somebody who doesn't in fact sell that kind of thing. So what you're doing is you're sending the guy on a wild goose chase. That would be another example of anas dvarim. Another example, these examples are all taken from the Gemara in Bava Metzia that talks about this Indian. The other person is Baal Teshuva. Don't tell him, remember what you used to do. If you sort him, come on somebody else, Rahman al-Atslan, don't tell him like the way Eev's friends told him that they told him, Zachor namihu naki ovad, remember, was there anybody who was innocent or was lost? In other words, they're telling him that you must have done something wrong, that therefore Hashem is punishing you. So that would also be included in anas dvarim. Now they meant, they were saying that because after all, Eev was saying certain things that made it sound like he denies Hashem's hashgacha. But nevertheless, they still should have been more careful in the way they talked to him. At the end of Sefer Eov, in fact, Hashem tells them, you didn't speak to me properly the way Eov did. And the Gemara in Bava Basra explains, because Hashem didn't hold it against him so much what he said, because it was done in his pain and b'shas tzare. But they should have been more careful in how they say it to Eov. Al derech, like you have, there's a famous thing that the Friedrich Rebbe once told one time when he was at one of the sanatoriums that he went for his health. They had to give him a shot, and they cleaned the area very carefully with alcohol, and they sterilized the needle and so forth. And they explained, and he asks why, and they explained to him because otherwise you're going to inject germs together with the shot, and you'll be worse off. And he said, from this you can learn a lesson in avodah. You're telling somebody off. You have to stick a needle in. You got to make sure that there's no extraneous things in there. Another example is you ask somebody at Dvar Chochma, don't turn to somebody else who doesn't know that particular thing and say, what's your opinion on that? Because then the guy's going to be embarrassed because he has, how can he have an opinion? He has no idea of it. So all these kinds of things that cause tzar to another person, you wouldn't be allowed to do.